The Brian Golf Show.
Four!
Presented by Cobra Puma Golf.
That was an excellent shot.
Yeah, real good form.
Oh my God, okay, I'm here to do a podcast. I'm going to do it. It's actually a podcast. I thought about doing this a long time ago, okay, when I played in another qualifier, but actually that was a U.S. Open qualifier when I was going to do that, but I just figured, you know what, it's been a minute, you know, we've got Thanksgiving week, and it's been a weird year with COVID and all that, and actually pushed a tournament that I normally try and qualify for. I qualified for once before, called the Florida Amateur. It's kind of a big deal, I guess, if you're an amateur golfer in the state of Florida, but they pushed everything back. Normally it's in June, July, as far as, or maybe May, June, and that's when the tournament is. I guess the state opens in July. So yeah, normally it's in June. And well, it's taking place in December this year at Black Diamond Ranch. Not a golf course I was that excited about playing anyways, for real. No, I'm kidding. The golf course looks phenomenal. It's supposed to be one of the best in the state. But I thought this would be cool since they kind of moved it back. It's November, which is weird that they're doing tournaments in November in Florida, but, you know, because you can't really do that in all the other states in the United States. But hey, here we can. And so they were hosting one. And I decided, look, I'm going to play in this qualifier. I normally try and get in and prepare as much as I can and really take these qualifiers pretty serious. But this time I got a little sick, so my preparation was cut kind of quick after Players' Cup. I'll let you use your imagination of what I got sick with, but definitely drugged me down and threw the mud there for a few days, and definitely made it very hard to kind of think about anything other than just my body not aching and the pain and all of that that goes along with it. And so I signed up. I was signed up for this qualifier, and, you know, I had two options. I could just cut out and go, you know what, like, this isn't really going to be what I need it to be as far as preparation goes. Let's get out. It wouldn't quite be quitting, but I love golf tournaments. I love competitions, you know, individual tournaments. I don't play in enough, you know, but we have obviously all our events like Players Cup, which we're still going to kind of talk about as soon as I get Mel in here again on another day. I guess the next Players Cup is until next year. So we have a little bit of time to kind of recap that. And plus the last podcast was about Players Cup. And I just kind of figure, you know, Let's talk a little Florida Amateur qualifier, or just playing in a qualifier in general, and some of my thoughts on that and how interesting of a situation it really is. But, you know, I like playing in our events that we put on. The Players' Cup's got an individual aspect to it, but it's really, for the most part, a team event, you know, team match play, which can get very stressful. Actually, I was said all three of my matches this year, I lost the two team matches, and I won the singles match, but all three of my matches went to the 18th hole. And I don't know if I've ever played a more stressful golf in my entire life, you know, as far as that goes, especially because it's my event, you know, let's just say it's an event that I created. And, you know, I'm the main host of that event along with Mel, and you know, I want to do well in it. So there's a lot of pressure to that. But then you go, hey, you know, maybe I should play in some more individual events and things like that. And, maybe this would be good preparation for it because I do care so much, but it really turns out I was playing really good golf at Players Cup, for the most part, but, none of that really mattered when you get all, you know, like I said, kind of drugged through the mud, feeling like shit, can't go out, can't do anything. And then you're stuck, you know, with these body aches and you can't, you know, hit 20 golf balls without being winded and, you know, all this. So, that's kind of what I was dealing with going into this. But a few days before the qualifier, I was just fine. I mean, as far as, you know, like, had some energy, you know, went and played, I don't know, probably 13 or 14 holes, and was definitely a little bit tired, you know, after those holes, but striped it, you know, basically hit it, you know, for whatever reason, my driver, I'm aiming down the left and it's just falling to the right for like the first time in my entire life. And it's not, I don't think it's because of anything technique wise, like, I'm just envisioning my ball doing that, and that's what my ball's doing it. So I'm going to ride that one until she bucks me. But so I go out and I play, and man, so there's qualifiers at Palencia Golf Club. And I've played it one time with my buddy Froggy. It was an okay golf course. We played it up a tee, and it was kind of tricky from up there because you had to really, like, kind of squeeze it into some spots. But overall, golf course kind of bores the hell out of me. It's just, I don't know, man. You know, like, there's a golf course that, you know, it's like, it really keeps your interest and you're really pumped about it. And you get to the next hole and you're excited. You're like, oh yeah, I love this hole. Let me go to, there's really not too much of that at this golf course. It's in St. Augustine, and it's kind of fancy looking, you know, the clubhouse is pretty remarkable, and the golf course is just in meh condition and whatnot. And this isn't like to drag on Palencia, but it's a hard golf course. It's like a really, really hard golf course, and it's super tight. And going into this, you know, qualifier, I'm thinking, God, if I hit fairways and greens, like I'm gonna be golden. You know, it takes like 76 or better normally at this golf course to qualify. And I looked at my history in qualifiers, and I've shot 73, 76, and 77 or something like that. I think that's what it was. So, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to be kind of in there. And plus I was going into it playing decent golf even before I got sick and all that. But so I come out to this thing, and qualifiers, and this is what I wanted to talk about, qualifiers on this podcast, is they are the most unique tournament in the world. There is no like 2 days, 3 days to make up for, you know, a bad hole here and there. There are just simply like, you go, do I go and play conservative, or do I go and I just aim at every single pin? And for the most part, I can tell you I aimed at every single pin except for maybe one of them. And other than, I mean, like I'm serious, on 18 holes, you just gun at it because you got no choice. You got to go somewhat low in these qualifiers. Now, I played in like U.S. Open qualifier before, depending on the golf course. Like last year when I played in Cincinnati at Makatiwa, it was a very difficult day to play golf. So you're kind of like, man, if I just kind of keep this thing around par, like, holy shit, I'm going to go to the sectionals in U.S. Open qualifying because the golf course is playing so tough. And I think, too, like a couple over par got out last year at that. So I think I shot like 79 or 80. I think I shot 80. I had just enough double bogeys to shoot 80. It was like, damn it. And I didn't play bad that day either. It's just tough. But what I'm kind of finding out, like these qualifiers are not my favorite tournament. I just don't like the attitude that surrounds a qualifier from other players. You have a lot of, I'm going to get into it a little bit, but you have a lot of no cards, NCs. You know, you've got some people that just straight up quit and no card. You got some people that play the whole golf and just don't turn in a card, or the whole round of golf and just don't turn in a card at these qualifiers. Cause it kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. It kind of doesn't matter. Now, for reference, as I get into this, I'm a true scratch or better golfer. Like my handicap right now, I think I'm a plus one. You know, like I go play a golf course like Reunion. I'm pretty sure alternate shot, my partner and I were like, we shot 69, something like that. And then my next round, I played what I thought was kind of bad and still shot par at the Nicklaus course. And then the last day for singles, I was 4 under through 11. We're playing them like 6,600 yards, right? So and that's kind of good for everybody. But it's like I'm 4 under through 11 holes. I think I go on a string of 4 bogeys. Then I make a birdie coming in, and I did bogey the last hole. I had to chip out, you know, me and the guy I was playing with had to chip out. So you got, you know, boom, I shoot even par, right? Again, like that's kind of how I play golf. If I go play around a golf, you know, around here in Jacksonville, if I've seen the golf course a few times, you know, I'm probably going to shoot somewhere around par. Sometimes if I'm hitting it really good or making putts, I'm going to do a little better. Well, I in tournament probably shoot anywhere from, I've got scores in like real tournaments, like Florida State tournaments, 72 to 77. It's kind of my range. And I would say, yeah, I'm probably going to go out there on average. If I'm not playing great golf, I'm going to shoot 75, 76, 77. It's just what I'm going to do. It's the reality of it. When you don't play in a lot of tournaments, I think that's kind of what's going to happen. But I go, so like, I go into these tournaments and I think truly there's no reason I can't go qualify. I've done it before. The first year I tried to qualify for the Florida Amateur a few years ago, I qualified. Golf course was clearly a better golf course for me as far as getting in and playing this golf course kind of sight unseen or whatever. It fit me a little bit better. Generally speaking, if a golf course is super easy, or I don't want to say super easy, on the easier side, especially if it's hard because of the approach shots, chances are I'm going to have an advantage on that golf course. I hit my irons extremely well. For the most part, I don't ever miss the middle of the club face, and my ball doesn't waver offline. My intended target too often. And like my misses are normally in a decent spot. You know, I'm like a short right guy. I'm not like this long left dude, you know, too often. I control my distances very well. So anytime I go to a golf course like that, I kind of believe no matter if I play good or bad, I've got a little bit of an advantage because the golf course is right there in front of me, you know, as far as irons go and all of that. If it's a little wider off the tee, I'm going to do a little bit better. If it's tight, but, you know, you can chip out and pitch out or you can advance the ball again. Those are shots that I'm really good at still kind of getting it up and down and making a good score. Now, when it's super tight, you know, a golf course and maybe like Palencia where it's pretty tight, I would say that I'm going to struggle a little bit more on that one, especially because Palencia has some kind of small greens. You know, it's kind of like, man, if I can get this in play somehow, I'm going to hit more greens than most. You know, then it comes down to putting. So we'll get to that here in a sec. But I went into like this golf course and I probably missed 1, 2, 3 fairways max. I think I truly maybe missed 2 or 3 fairways, but one of them was, it didn't even count. You know, it's like, yeah, it was, I had perfect lie barely off the fairway to the left and I hit the ball right where I was aimed. So, you know, things like that'll happen. But man alive, I putt so bad and I have putted so bad. Like at Players Cup, I did not putt very good. A little bit of that I'll attribute to stress. Another part of that is I'm not that comfortable putting anymore. You know, at all, to the point where I'm messing around. I've just said, screw it. I've got a Bettinardi arm lock in here. I'm going to start arm locking because I think it's the closest thing to cheating that you can do. And I want to figure it out. So that's where I'm at with putting. So I play in this qualifier and think, all right, 76 or better, you know, I'm going to shoot either 72 or I'm going to shoot 77. That's literally like my thoughts on what I was going to shoot before I went into this thing. And, not knowing really how I was going to be hitting the ball. Like I went for a practice round, striped it, you know, came home. Mel's like, how'd you hit it? I'm like, hitting it is not my problem. You know, I didn't make a single birdie in 11 or 12 holes when I played the other night before for a practice round. And it's because the ball just wanted to go in the hole. Greens were dog slow. I'm like smashing putts, barely getting them there. And then we go to tournament time and strike the first shot. Right off, I mean, same exact ball flight I've been looking at for the, you know, last 24 hours where I aim a little left, my ball falls a little right, and it was just, it's amazing. Like, for anybody that normally is a drawer of the ball that's been working to try and move it a little left to right, like, imagine the eureka moment you have when that's what your ball does, and you just think, man, I've unlocked golf. I am going to dominate everyone, and especially because I do what I normally do on the next shot. Yeah, you know, stripe it, you know, 10 feet over the flag. And I'm just sitting here going, it's like a 9-iron from like 150 or something like that. And I'm like, this is going to be my day. I'm going to just surprise myself, really, and I'm just going to play very solid. I'm going to wait, walk up, make this putt, and I'm going to start this shit off 1 under. And from that point on, I mean, when you start off in a qualifier with a birdie, it is like, again, it's just that moment where you just feel this weight lifted off your shoulder because you know, man, anything around par is good. So any shots I can get an advantage on par, it's not really about playing the other people. It's always like par better. Man, par better is always going to get you in on any qualifier. I've never really seen it not work on like the amateur level. Maybe go to US Open qualifier or something. And the story's a little bit differently. Yes, you need to go lower. The most nerve-wracking shot you would have all day is the first tee in a tournament on a golf course you don't necessarily like. And that just wasn't the case. Stripe show, not nervous over a single full swing for the remainder of the day. But as soon as I get on the greens, I don't know what the hell happens to me. It is just bad. You know, missed 10 footers for birdie, missed 10 footers for par. I never saw a meaningful putt go in. You know, it's like a bad break on like number 11, my second hole, you know, where I just got like my least favorite lie barely off the green and it was mildly short-sighted. you know, it's like some, and it was like another thing where you don't know how far to hit it because I couldn't even get the pin because they put the pin behind this mound that hides the pin. So I really didn't like know how far I needed to hit my shot. And I just did my best guess. And my biggest fear was going long. And, you know, I took just enough off of it. I came up just short, and you can barely freaking come up short on this one. And I just gave myself like the hardest chip ever. You know, missed the 10 footer for the, or whatever, 8 footer for par on 11. And you go, all right, you're one over. This goes back to that conversation, like, as we're talking about qualifiers, where you go, all right, well, that's one. I better get that shit back. You know, and then, hey, all is well. Hit it to 20 feet on a difficult, you know, from like 190 or something like that on this par 3. You hit a good putt that gave it a good run, made my par, you know, cool, you're one over. There's a par 5 next. Well, this is where this golf course was tricky for me. Was it was never one. I've probably lost, I don't know, 10 to 15 yards on maybe a club, you know, maybe about a club distance. Ball's not going as far for me right now all of a sudden. Just, I guess that has a little bit to do with being sick and not having full power, if you will, or full energy. But I get on this par 5, stripe show, right down the middle. I knew my shot was always going to be a layup because the day before where I saw where the pin was going to be, I knew I was going to want to come in with a full wedge versus having some little flip wedge. Just you needed to be able to get spin on the ball and you need to be able to get height on it. So, you know, and I'm not going to go over every hole with you. That's just not what this is. But this is just to kind of start the day. And I hit a wedge that, you know, went a little left and all right, cool. So I'm like 30 feet away, which is the absolute worst. I was totally fine with it. The pin was off on the right. I aimed at the middle thinking I could just cut it in a little bit. Instead, it just kind of hung just a little to the left. And, you know, I had a pin high 30 footer across the ridge, blast that by 8 feet, miss that putt. I just three putted on a par 5 and it's like, all right, that's not the strategy, right? Obviously, like you don't want to get a three putt. Get to the next hole, pretty sure, same story, three putt. And I'm just like, okay. So now I'm like three over all of a sudden, going, well, I don't know. There's some opportunities coming, but not the way I'm putting. My speed just went bye-bye. It just went gone. I don't know if playing the day before and it being like really soft, whatever it may be, I don't know if that's something where it was like, you know, or really slow, not just soft, but slow, because the golf course was still soft, playing lift, clean, and place out there and everything, and it was still difficult. You know, I just kind of thought to myself, hey, whatever, the greens are tricking me a little bit here. Eventually I'll get it. Never got it. Get to 17, so my 8th hole, and I'm 3 over, and I'm totally mentally fine. You know, I'm hitting the ball good enough. I believe eventually I will make putts. I see putts go in often, and I envision every putt that I am looking at doing its job, right? If it's a 40 or 50 footer, I envision it cozying up there just to 2 feet, tapping it in. If it's a 10 to 15 footer, I envision myself making it. 3 footer, envision myself making it. But I get to 17, and so one hole I really didn't 100% love the wind on. It was kind of pushing it a little right and in or something along those lines. And I just thought to myself, man, if I hit like a 230 shot, I'm going to have, you know, 8 iron into this green. But more importantly, like, it's just not a green I want to come into with that club, not a pin. And it's also just a hole where I really want to get it as close as possible. So I'm like, I'm just going to kind of pure driver. Because why wouldn't I? That's all I do is just pure driver. And push it. It's a one hole. It was almost like my ball just never had a chance of going anywhere in its intended line. It just shoved dead right. And apparently the club face was a little open. Whatever. Blasted it. Re-tee. And you're just sitting there going, God, you just did that on this hole? You can't do that. You cannot lose a ball in a qualifier. It's just too much to make up, you know, a double bogey. It's just too much. Hit my next drive, and then I got like a little 80-yard shot in. So I'm trying to get up there and make a bogey and hit it to 10 or 15 feet, pin high. Another good, solid shot. You know, like thinking to myself, look, I'm going to make this putt. It's just, I don't make double bogeys very often. So I'm going to make this putt. It's what I do. Missed the putt, make a double bogey. Now I'm sitting at five over, going into par five, you know, driver, stripe show, hybrid. I put a hybrid in the bag just for a couple shots on this golf course, stripe show, you know, then I hit a wedge to whatever, 25 feet on this par five, two putt par. And I'm sitting here, I shoot 41 on my front nine. And I'm like, all right, well, there's only one thing to do from here, and that's go for everything, because you're right on the cusp. And look, going out and shooting like a, you know, 38 doesn't do me any good, and I know that. Get a couple holes in, I make a bogey on number two, you know, after playing number one beautifully. This is my 10th and 11th hole, and missing like a 15-footer. You know, again, I have a lot of 15 and 20-footers. Every time I've got like a 7-iron or less in, I feel like I'm going to hit it inside 20 feet. It's just, that's where my irons are at right now. It's how good I hit my irons. That was just so far from the case, though. I'd hit them close, and I'd miss the putt. You know, no confidence whatsoever. Get to another, you know, another hole. I think the next hole, I don't remember the next hole, but number four is a par. Oh, shit. This is the last hole I'll really talk about, like, in depth. Number three, 200-yard par three. I hit 5-iron, pull it just a little, but I'm on the green, like, you know, 40 feet away. Hit a good putt, thinking this is hope. Oh, my God, it's trekking towards a hole. It's going to go in. I'm going to steal one here, and I'm going to be, what? What did I say? I was six over at that point now. I'm going to be back to five over. I can still do this. Last year in a qualifier, I shot 44-33. Okay, so like, I know that I can make birdies and I can like flip it. The reason that all happened too, that got off to such a bad start, was I was simply late for my tee time after sitting in traffic for an hour and a half. You know, so I had a bad run on that 44, but here I am again on my way to shooting another 44. And I just, like the kid I was playing with, he no-carded. That's also weird. You know, like when you're playing with somebody, you know, it's, we were a twosome for whatever reason, because the guy that we were supposed to play with withdrew. You know, like I'm playing with this kid and he's a nice guy. Like that's it. There's nothing, but you're playing with strangers and that's fine. But when you don't gel, you don't gel. And I had no interest in gelling truly. You know, I'm a pretty talkative person, but I'm just not there like in a tournament to like socialize and talk about anything really. I just don't care enough. I work really well when I've got a caddy, because I can kind of talk to that person, and that person kind of like, I can be a social butterfly to my PIC, my partner in crime. But other than that, like, I just don't care about there. You know, I would have enjoyed, there was probably a handful of people in the field that I knew. I really wish I was just paired with one of them. It would have been that much more fun. And, you know, the conversation, maybe I would have thought a little less about my putting and how bad I was putting. And I would have focused a little bit more on just kind of improving, but who knows? But that dude, he ended up just quitting, because he lost a ball and then he lost another ball. So then he's like, screw it. I'm just going to throw this out. No card. Like something I would never do, by the way, like the no card life in qualifiers and tournament golf, it is an embarrassment to, I think, everyone. I think it's an embarrassment to the organization putting on the tournament. You know, if you think about like the FSGA, like I kind of feel like, man, people that no card, like eventually they should be kind of slapped and been like, hey, you don't care enough to see one of these through, or you don't have the guts to put in your bad score because you're worried about what anybody's going to think or your handicap or whatever it may be. Like it still happened. I don't think those people should get to just kind of continue to play in them. You know, I think there needs to be respect to the person putting on event. I know if we were putting on one of our events and someone just in the middle of it was like, I'm having a bad time, I quit, I would have been like, man, you are a vagina. That's not how this works, and it's not how golf works. Just go play, have fun. Who knows what could happen? You know, make a couple birdies. Maybe you make, like, I don't know, a memory on your way in. And it is what it is, right? Change the attitude. I'll never quit. Look, I've got a lot riding on this. I think, you know, as far as people know who I am, people know my name. So the last thing I want to look at, I'd rather somebody look at the score and go, wow, Brian played very, very bad that day. He must have done this or he must have done that, whatever it may be, and he shot 85. Wow, he's better than that, which is what anybody I know would say about me. But I'd rather have them say that than go, wow, Brian no-carded? What a quitter. Like, that is unacceptable in tournament golf to me. Completely unacceptable. So, look, I stuck through it. I ended up finishing shooting 85, double bogeyed my last hole from, like, 80 yards out. You know, so it was like, hey, it was a really good day. Had 38 putts. And that is like, oh, my God. If I just had 30 putts, you know, I play as bad as I did and shoot 77. And I'd say 30 putts is normally about what I would have in a round of golf. 30, 32 on a bad day. 32 on a bad day. You know, so I'm sitting here going, what the, and that's, and by the way, 77, 78, that's normally a bad day. Did nerves play a part? I don't know, and maybe, all at the same time. These tournaments, you know, like I only play in one or two a year, and I hope next year I get to play in more. I don't think that's enough tournaments to really get comfortable playing tournament golf. You know, there was a time, like I can go back in my history, you know, back in the Evansville days and things like that. Like I did not play as good a golf as I play now. And I'd go shoot par. I'd go shoot no worse than 74 or 75 in a tournament. And it's things like that. I don't remember having nerves. And, it's funny. I go back to the first Florida Amateur at Fiddlesticks, and I think it was called Miramar Lakes or something down in Naples. And I play Fiddlesticks, and I don't hit the ball good, but I shoot 72 at the first round of the Florida Amateur. And I'm like, shit, that's way better than I thought I would do, honestly. But also at the time, you know, I'm like a plus one, plus two handicap. And I think normally I shoot around par. So cool. I got up and down and I made putts, right? Well, then the next round, I just always remember opening up Stripe Show, 3-wood, Stripe Show, 9-iron, and over the flag, like 30 feet. This is the first year of the Florida Amateur that I played in, like 2016. And the first hole of the second round, I'm well ahead. I'm like 6 strokes ahead of the cut line. At this point, I know it's projected, whatever. It's going to be about, you know, whatever, 5 to 7 strokes over par, whatever, for the cut. And I three putt, and I'll never forget the feeling my hands had. I had in my hands, and it was like, oh no, do I have the freaking yips, right? But then coming in, I make 3 birdies, and it's like, you can't make birdie putts with the yips, right? And I end up shooting like 82 in that round. So I go 72, 82. And the whole time I come out and I'm like, okay, I didn't putt that great. I definitely had moments where it was a little shaky. But did I have the yips? Like, am I actually, do I have nerves? And I think a little bit of it, the answer is yes. And I think another part of it is when you are very comfortable with that putter that is in your hands, it can really make a really big difference, a big impact for you, and calming the nerves. So, you know, I'm kind of like looking for that blanket, that comfort blanket, as far as, you know, that goes, and looking down, and whether it's just, you know, switching back to my lab putter because it's super big, even though I feel like everything wants to go left with it. Or do I get an arm lock, this arm lock Bettinardi, or do I just get a plumber's neck, you know, and just go, look, so what I putted with back in the day, like, let's just go. I feel comfortable with this. I don't know, but something needs to change mentally for me, putting. You know, I briefly talked to my buddy Baker, and he's like, dude, you just need to change your routine with putting. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, my practice routine. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I don't really have much of a practice routine. So maybe that's what I need to start with, is I need to get a practice routine putting. And it's going to come down to, you know, tournaments, you know, playing in these tournaments and really getting comfortable being uncomfortable, if you will. Or, you know, it's like, because I found a way to kind of calm my heart rate and like lower my nerves that way just a little bit. But man, I think something in the back of your head, you know, it's just very, very uncomforting sometimes on the green when you're not comfortable and you're nervous about the result of a putt. And I don't think you can do that. I think there's only, when it comes to putting, there should be one result, and that is the one that you desire. The ball to cozy up a couple feet, or the ball to go in, obviously, when you're,
you know, 10, 15 feet. You try and make every 15 footer, eventually you're going to make more than your fair share, right? But so that's kind of what I'm going to be looking at and working on in the future, because I'd like to play in more of these. But I'd like to get back to the Florida Amateur. Now, next year it's at Stream Song. That is, and it's in blue and red, I believe. So that is definitely one that I feel like I need to be at. I will change one little strategy again. And I did this with US Open qualifying before. I will travel to a better golf course for me as far as qualifying goes. Cause man, I look at some of the golf courses, you know, that I enjoy and versus the one I just played. I probably never had a shot truly at Palencia. Maybe mentally I never had a shot, no matter what. And that's, I don't know. It's unfortunate that I can even like admit that, but I'm willing to admit it. I'm going to try and play in a few more of these, hopefully playing some team events next year. I don't know. I just saw the schedule at Tim Aquana. I don't know the format of the club championship, but I know there are some sticks out there. So that'll be a really fun tournament. That's probably like the next one I'll do is February, and that'll be right before Battle at the Beach. So kind of get my competitive juices flowing and get into that. But, you know, qualifiers are great. I'd love to hear your qualifier stories, you know, maybe some of your battles with qualifiers, good and bad, what you've learned, you know, if you've made it this far and, you know, you've played in some of these qualifying events where you got one day to have your best round of golf just to get into the tournament to then hopefully have even better rounds of golf. It's a stressful situation that I haven't quite navigated very well over the past few years. And I think because every qualifier I go to is like my US Open, because I don't play in very many, it'll be a little bit more interesting now with the shop and, you know, being able to play in more important events to me, not just like our tournaments that are very friendly. They're team events, two-man events. There's obviously, you know, a lot of stress with the Players Cup being a Ryder Cup style event and the pressure of, you know, wanting to do well for your team. I don't know if any of the other guys that play in that event, you know, feel that pressure, but I certainly feel the pressure wanting to do well for everybody. But there's nothing more, I guess, enjoyable than doing it for yourself under harsh conditions, you know, like meaning a difficult tournament like a Florida Amateur qualifier where you got really, really good golfers in Florida. I could probably go to Indiana tomorrow and qualify for the Indiana Amateur every single year. Probably shoot 75 or 76 on a golf course that wouldn't scare me whatsoever, because it's no golf course up there really does, you know, things like that. And it's just crazy when you think about Florida, how much more competitive it is. And then the conditions that you face, the golf courses, the winds, because there's always the element of winds. You know, it's just really, really interesting, you know, the qualifier life, and definitely one that I enjoyed, even though I shot an 85, and I had a few friends go, wait, how did you do that? And I go, I don't know, but it is going to look very good on my handicap card. I don't even know if, I know tournament scores count there for a while. I'm trying to see here, but if they put my score in for me, but I don't know if competition rounds, I don't know if that 85 will really kind of sit there for a minute. Oh yeah, they put it on there all right. Whew, 10. That'd be a 10 on my handicap. I'm surprised no PCC on that one, just because of some of the scores I saw were pretty high. But yeah, last five scores, 85, 72, 72, 76, 79. 79 was at Victoria National, though. That's like shooting 72 anywhere else. So, all right, cool. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed letting, you know, you letting me rant a little bit on the qualifier life and the tournament life and tournament golf, and hopefully me improving my putting a little bit. Actually, we're getting sick putters in the shop, and I'm kind of excited to try out a sick putter. S-I-K, right? Sick. They're sick, but I need to get those guys on the podcast too. They're pretty interesting story on how those putters are designed, but we'll get into that. Maybe I can get them on in the next week or two, as soon as I get their demo bag to show up to my shop. So I hope y'all have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Currently it's the day before Thanksgiving. So hope you have a fantastic and happy Thanksgiving. Happy holiday with the family. Stuff your face, and we will talk with you next week.